Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Casual KO after a week off. We're coming in early. We're going to try and do these things early. Sometimes we get them going on like Thursday night before the pay-per-view. But, you know, Alex, who tries to stay ahead of the curve and tries to, you know, put the information out while it's, you know, we try to get ahead of the lines here is what I'm trying to say. And I tend to agree that, yeah, the earlier we do this, the better. And, man, I mean, what an interesting little pay-per-view here. I actually, on paper, had the best record from like, what we marked down. But my betting night was awful. I think that Alex probably had the best betting night out of the three of us, from what I saw.
And I still only broke even, so that should tell you enough.
Dude, it was bad. It was bad, man. Like, I think I went, there was 12 fights, correct? And I went 6-6. And breaking, like, going, you know, half and half being the best. It's not our best night as a show, guys. We need to up the fucking quality of the research and the picks. We all do as a collective. So, you know, my best bet, realistically, and I'm not proud of it, it was probably Rocky last week, right? Raquel Pennington, you guys were hating on me. You both had Silva submissions round 2 and 3. I had Rocky KO round 5. She wasn't sniffing a KO at any point in time. It seemed like the best bet. I mean, you know, I'm trying to look here. With what we all had. Also, Patterson was one that I called.
Yeah, Patterson was by far your best bet.
You think so? Okay. Because I just didn't see it like that. Because Johan, I was telling you guys, Johan's not UFC material. I was kind of pushing back on you guys after we had all picked Gordon the first fight of the night. I was saying, you know, Flick is not as bad as we're saying he is. And, you know, formerly I called him, called against him on the show. But yeah, man, I'm DDP obviously was Alex's best pick. In hindsight, it seems like, you know, a no-brainer. Man, Jared, you picked Mike Malott, dude.
Yeah, but you know what? No, but my bet was the over 1.5 at -125. That was what saved my night, or at least tried to.
Okay. Yeah, you're right with that. But I mean, dude, Alex and myself both sniping out Neil Magny on that one was
no, you said Neil Magny could only win a decision. Don't act like you were fucking on.
I did say that, but I did take Neil and for the record, Alex did as well.
Hey, but how about that over 1.5? The hell is a lock.
That was a lock. We got fucked here on where are we at? No, what's the Jordan? That was a horrible read on all of our parts. And then Jared, your best bet, if I might say so myself, was Tavares against City, right? That was an interesting little look there because even though, you know, the decision didn't really seem to go the way that it seemed, it should have. You know, you did lock that in. Also, I had Robertson. You guys both took Polly. I took Robertson by decision, though. We all had decision, and who would have thought Robertson would have actually gotten a fucking knockout there? So I had the best night here on paper, personally. But, man, I think that, you know, once some shit gets back to normal a little bit, because that was a wild, weird card, I think that it's going to be a lot more even, and we're going to actually get into the winning column. So let's... I mean, what do we want to talk about before we actually get going on the card here? Weird NFL stuff going on. I got fucked over twice this week by the Golden State bitch-ass Warriors, dude. 1-point losses against the Lakers and against the Sacramento Kings. So the you know, Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors are dead to me. Never betting on them again. They've basically cost me $300 in a week. So fuck them. Anything going on with you guys though? That's hopefully more positive. Jared?
Definitely not positive, but the 1FC card that happened this morning, I woke up at 3:30 AM to watch this card. mainly just to watch Super like as the main event, but I did want to see Sage Northcutt fight because I think he's overrated. I was hoping he was going to get submitted by a 40-year-old submission specialist. And so this is one of the few pay-per-views they do. And when Sage Northcutt is supposed to walk out, they announced John Lineker.
Yeah.
The 5'2", 135-pounder. Walking in to fight the 6'2", 170-pounder in an open weight matchup, they didn't mention that Sage Northcutt had pulled out until Lineker was walking out. And I'm like, it just rubbed me the wrong way. It felt like they were trying to get that pay-per-view money from the Americans because there's only two Americans on the card. One's a submission grappling match, which who cares about that? And the other one's Sage Northcutt. So it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I was looking forward to hopefully seeing Sage get submitted. And instead, I watched one of my favorite fighters, John Lineker, get absolutely ragdolled by a dude three weight classes above him.
Yeah, stupid. Now, does this make the, I know you're a big 1FC guy. You got the 1FC, you know, the one championship shit hoodie right there, right? Does it drop the stock, in your opinion, at all?
Initially, it did. Because it just bothered me so much. Maybe it was because it was 5 a.m. and I was like, what the fuck is this? But I thought about it a little more rationally later in the day. The UFC pisses me off on a regular basis. Sure. And this is the first time one has really rubbed me the wrong way. So I can't be too mad at them here. They have some weird practices over in Asia when it comes to the entertainment business. But UFC pisses me off all the time. So I guess I'll let one sneak one by me.
Interesting. I will say BKFC did not disappoint this weekend. It was a phenomenal event if you guys happened to catch that.
I didn't even know they had a card this week.
Yeah, it wasn't marketed very well. But yeah, this was next week, also on Friday, February 2nd here in the U.S. Really, really good card. Freaking Luis Palomino versus Austin Trout. That's going to be...
Start covering those cards in the future.
Yeah, I'm down, dude. I'm down. I just can't make any bets. I can't place any bets. You know, can't.
I feel like those got to be tough to get into. I mean, I feel like there's not much tape on any of these guys.
There is, man, because they come over. A lot of these guys come over from, you know, UFC, LFA, boxing, all kinds of different things. You can go and watch how they fight. But yeah, a lot of them, you know, they're 1-1, they're 3-0, things like that. But Luis Palomino's 9-0, and then Austin Trout is the former light middleweight WBC boxing champion. So I mean, like, he's fought Canelo, he's fought like the Charlos, like all these like bad. I mean, it's a fucking good main event, dude. To be honest, and you know, I'm not just saying that because I work there, but it's, I mean, this is a stacked card, and it's an important event for the organization too. So. Definitely worth checking out. And I think DraftKings offers lines on these fights too, mostly just money lines. But anyway, Alex, what's going on with you this week, dude? Long time no talk.
Just lost money on the Ravens. Kind of mush.
Yeah, dude.
Depressed.
How about that 13-yard pass Lamar Jackson threw to himself, though? That was kind of...
I just wanted to turn off the TV after a while. And I definitely had the wrong read on that game. You know, that Pfizer sponsorship is going a whole long way.
Dude, you're not fucking joking, man.
I got to be honest. I feel like, why were you not guys not all over the Chiefs? Taylor Swift, they're in the Super Bowl. I bet you she performs at halftime.
There was, well, no, they already broke this down. And it's funny that you say the halftime show. It's supposed to be Usher and a couple other people.
Oh, they'll sneak her in there.
I wouldn't be surprised. But, dude, like, there was this conspiracy theory going on earlier in the year where it was supposed to be because when DraftKings dropped their logo for the Super Bowl, it was red and purple. So this was going to be the 49ers and the Ravens, right? Now, obviously, the Ravens go out there and lose. The 49ers, unless I missed something, the 49ers won. So yeah, dude, just a weird, it's red and red. There has nothing to do with this. And this is where like psyops come in, like just like intentionally placed information that misdirects betters, dude. So
Jared, always say this.
Whenever it goes mainstream, I already know where he's going with it.
Whenever it goes mainstream, it's a fade. And that's what everyone was talking about it. When it's an underground opinion, that's when it's something where it has some backing to it.
Well, that's what's tough, though, is that, you know, if this was a mainstream narrative, still it was half right. You know what I mean? It's half correct here in this stance. So it's just weird, dude. Conspiracy theories are getting really frustrating and old to me because conspiracy people have this thing about them where they say that we're always right. We're never wrong about all these things. They're fucking wrong right here. Hard.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people spent some money on this. It was a couple of great games, but damn, dude, like, I don't know if we can really say that the NFL is that rigged at this point. Unless that narrative was put out there to kind of like counteract what's actually going on. But nonetheless, man, I think what it is in the case of the NFL, and then we'll move into what we're talking about, unless you guys got anything else. I think it's the referees that really throw these games. It's not the players. The players aren't going in there unless they're maybe like the Travis Kelce's of the world that are getting paid $20 million to do these Pfizer ads, and the Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid's to do these State Farm ads. It's weird, man. It's not possible that all of these NFL players are all in on it. And that's my opinion. I don't know, man. I don't know. Weird. But
makes a lot of sense, though. There's so many moving parts in football. You get the referees on it. That's a good way to control the game as much as you can.
Well, dude, last thing I'll say about this here is that I was talking with my mom and dad. My mom and dad aren't big conspiracy people. My dad is more so than my mom. But are you guys familiar with the high school coach? The NBA coach, and I think referee as well, that was like all these fucking referees in the 70s went to the same high school together. Have you heard of this theory?
No, not at all.
Okay, I'm going to pull this up right now. It was Crosby or something like that. NBA refs went to same high school. I'm typing in on my phone. And we'll see what we get. It should pop right up here. Yeah, Joey Crawford. So Joey Crawford went to Cardinal O'Hara High School with four other mainstream NBA referees from 1969 to 1974. So all these same different referees are going to one high school. So think of your high school. And then think of like you and five of your buddies all being freaking referees in like a professional.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores led by Walmart and Target are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
National sport that doesn't work out like that, dude. Like that's not by coincidence. That's intentional. So it's a weird situation, man. It's the referees. It's not necessarily the players, but I digress. Let's get into this shit here. Let's roll into this, dude. Gonna share my screen. I thought initially that Pete Rodriguez was gonna be in the first fight of the night. I just want to comment on the Pete Rodriguez fight first. So, Alex, I will pass this one to you first. And then, Jared, you can take it. And then we'll do our little, alternating here. But Thomas Peterson versus Jamal Pogues. Jamal Pogues being this kind of, almost seems like a bar tester type figure in the heavyweight division in the UFC. Thomas Peterson coming off of the Contender Series. Interesting fight, but Alex, give your thoughts here, man.
I do like Thomas because he has an easy path to victory here. We haven't seen Jamal fight a wrestler. We haven't seen how he does off his back. You know, I was kind of leading for another sloppy heavyweight fight on the over 1.5, but, I only see Thomas the only one who could have finishing ability here, unless he gets, a little bit tired later on in the fight. But I guess I'm going to go Thomas. A secondary bet would be over 1.5. But I'm going to go Thomas. I'm kind of leaning a finish here. It's just, and I love his nickname, the Train, man. It's got to be one of the greatest nicknames in the sport of MMA, man. Like, I'm a big the Train fan. And, you know, kind of keeping it simple here. I like Thomas. I think he has the wrestling ability here, and that goes a long way with me, especially since we haven't seen Jamal do any type of wrestling. He's a boxing base, and he's not the greatest boxer either, low volume.
Right.
And, yeah, I think he's going to take his second L here.
Okay. I respect it. Jared, where are you at here, man? I'll be right back, but give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be like zero help on this fight. I did zero research. I just looked at this fight. First fight of the night, low-level heavyweights. I'm like, this is the 1-800 gambler fight of the card. It's not a fight I plan on going anywhere near. If I have to make a pick, I guess I'll say Thomas Peterson gets a knockout. And that's not based on any opinion on Peterson. That's just based on Jamal Pogues is bad. That's all I know of him. With these contender series guys, they get a little overrated, and they seem to always come into the UFC's favorites. He's probably the rightful favorite here just because Pogues is that bad. But this is a fight I did no research. Didn't look into this fight a bit. This is the 1-800 gambler fight. I want nothing to do with it. I'll say Thomas Peterson, and we'll say he'll get a ground and pound knockout round one.
I like him. Yeah, man. That's what's interesting is that everyone seems to be on Peterson right now. It doesn't seem like a crazy line for all of that. Pogues is decent. Pogues fought that Mick Parkin, right, last time?
Yep.
So, you know, Mick Parkin was supposed to be this badass. He trains with Tom Aspinall. Got an autograph card by Tom Aspinall, by the way. Just got one recently. And, dude, I just don't know exactly where Pogues is, man. Peterson's striking is horrible. It's so bad. Man, just to be a contrarian here, Jared, you're going KO round one, ground and pound specifically. I'll take Pogues.
Now, I don't know if you heard my first part. I did zero research on this fight.
Okay.
I want nothing to do with it. This is the 1-800 gambler fight, low-level heavyweights. I'll always maintain the easiest way into the UFC is be a heavyweight or be a woman. I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, you're not lying. I would not recommend betting on this either. I recommend that if you are going to bet, it does go over the plus 1.5. It's a solid bet that Alex is throwing out there. I think that is the move, but just for the sake of some contrarianism, you know, betting on the underdog here, I'll take Pogues. I will take Pogues. More established, fought better dudes. I don't know. Peterson has great wrestling, but that is it. His striking is like my deaf corgi, my little dog that's deaf. It's like him punching me. It's bad, dude. He's got bad striking. So yeah, weird thing there. But let's move on to the second fight of the night. This is a much better fight. We've got Markel Medeiros versus Landon Quinones. Jared, why don't you lead us off on this nice little fight, second fight of the night?
Yeah, so this is a fight I actually did do research on. Quinones, he was a guy, he came onto the Ultimate Fighter. He was one and done. His first fight on the Ultimate Fighter, he falls into like a triangle, like a minute into the fight. Wasn't a good look. After the Ultimate Fighter, he goes back to Titan FC. He crushes another can. And then he gets a short notice debut against Nazareth Hackpress. He fights Nazareth, and on paper, this was supposed to be a mismatch and it was supposed to be an easy finish for Nazareth. Quinones didn't give him that easy fight. You know, he lost the fight, but I could still take a lot of positives away from it. Nazareth's lead leg was chewed up. Quinones got some real hard low kicks, and he caused some serious trouble. The cardio might be a little bit questionable because he significantly slowed down in that third round, but he was on short notice. I want to give him a little bit of a pass there, but this guy isn't bad. I think he's a lot better than he's being given credit for. When I look at Markel Medeiros, he's a guy I have a lot of question marks around him, because these guys that come into the contender series, they usually don't have the best strength of schedule leading up to it. And then the guys are fighting in contender series, they're the same way. So you really don't know how much to range his skills. He had a big knee knockout that earned him a contract. He looked good in that fight. But I feel like this is one of these instances where he's coming in as an overrated favorite from the contender series.
Right.
So that being said, I'm going to go with the guy that I see improving fight to fight, and a guy that I think he can cause some trouble. So I'm going to go with Quinones, and I'll say he edges out a decision, because Medeiros, he is a tough dude. He has some hard shots, especially early, but Quinones weathers that storm. I think he can really cause some damage in this fight and get himself his first UFC win.
Yeah, dude. I think that, I mean, everything that you're saying makes so much sense. There's this fade idea, and I don't think that we were recording when we talked about this, and obviously Jared and Alex were both talking about this off air here. But you, Jared, have this list of like fighters that you want to fade, right? And you know, there's a criteria. They're undefeated.
They have to be undefeated in the UFC.
Undefeated in the UFC. That's right. So there's like these points, right? And I think that what's really a spot to fade is these people coming off of contender series that have shiny records, right? 8-1, even a 4-1 record. That's a good record, dude. You know, a 2-1 record is a good record. Going up, and if you're a new fighter coming in and you have this shiny record and you're coming off the contender series is built like The Bachelor, right? Like the show The Bachelor, where it's like, it's not true. It's not real what's going on there. These are essentially amateur fights or regional fights. But they're meant to look real. They're meant to look professional. And I don't think that Medeiros has it yet. I think Quinones is going to get this win. I think he might get a knockout here. I think that he might finish potentially round one or two. Give me a Quinones round two knockout. Alex, what do you got here, man?
I'm with you guys. I'm on Landon. I was impressed with his last fight. I'm going to agree with Jared here. I'm on the decision, baby. I think he's going to edge it out. Them leg kicks dirty, man. I was impressed. I like Landon here. Give me that dog money, baby. Woo!
I like it.
Well, you know what that means. Medeiros is a lock now.
Yeah, no shit.
All three of us.
All siding on one side. We'll look and we'll revisit. We'll revisit this and you know, pay attention to the social media and stuff like that. Alex, what is that social media for you guys over there? And what's the YouTube?
At Profit Picks, PROPHET underscore picks. And Jared is at Teep Picks, TEEP Picks. Follow us both on YouTube and Instagram, whatever socials you want.
I have a whopping 26 followers on Instagram. Okay, I want to say six of them are real people. Two of them is Ryan and Alex.
Hey. You know what? You got to start somewhere. Fucking keep making good picks. And
yeah, so shoot me a follow. And if you don't, your mom's a cunt.
That's a fact for sure. Like I said, the main one that I want to weigh in on is two fights from now. But I will start with this one here. Julia Stolyarenko versus Luana Carolina. Holy shit. What a tough fight to really break down, because neither one of these fighters are great. Stolyarenko, if I'm not mistaken, she beat McCann in her last fight, Molly McCann, right?
Yep, showed Molly's great fight IQ.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, we have this idea where, you know, maybe, you know, fighters that have fought each other and then they're on the same card together.
Don't forget, McCann slept Carolina.
When?
It was in England.
Yeah, a year and 10 months ago. I kind of think Carolina wins this, man. It's a low-level women fight. It's a low-level women fight. And in a circumstance like this, I think, you know, she's the better striker. She's the taller woman. She's the more aggressive woman, right? Alex is freaking out over there. I have a feeling that you agree with me. Luana Carolina, I think, is the side here, dude. And it's not because, you know, it's a lock. Like, I wouldn't parlay Luana up. Maybe Alex has something different to say. But Luana, by a boring decision, potentially around three knockout. These aren't killers. These are low-level, you know, bad, bad fighters. But at the end of the day, I think Luana has the pieces to actually get this done. Alex, you're excited about this. What do you got here, dude?
Easy, give me another dog. Back-to-back doggies, man. Avoid that sub and it's all over. It's all over. She avoids an armbar. This is easy. She only got one way to win and she's a favorite. We all know Julia should be the dog in this spot. Give me that dog money on Luana. This is one of the fights that stood out to me. I said, give me that.
Okay. Got her by decision?
I'm going to go... The method's going to be a lot harder because I'm just going to not get greedy to take that plus 100 money line. I know the line's going to swap, too. I know it.
It should.
Get it in early if you're hearing this. Get it in early. But I'll go knockout round two. Let's go. Let's get greedy.
Okay. Shit. Jared, tell us why we're crazy.
All right. Well, I guess fucking Stolyarenko's the lock because I agree with you guys again. We got Muay Thai versus BJJ. I'm taking Muay Thai every time. Yeah. Both of these girls suck in their own way. Neither of these girls are good. But Stolyarenko, her striking is non-existent. Her striking defense is non-existent. Luana Carolina, her takedown defense is actually okay. Her grappling skills are non-existent. Neither of these girls are good. I'm taking the lesser of two evils here. As long as this fight stays on the feet, Luana should be dogging on this girl. So... she has pretty decent technical striking. I'm just going to side with her to outpoint her. And like you said, it's going to be a boring decision. Yeah. Although Stolyarenko, she likes to pull guard and put herself in vulnerable positions. I wouldn't be shocked to see Luana Carolina get a knockout here. But I'll take her by decision. But as far as a bet, I'm going to take her on the money line. As long as this fight stays on the feet, she's going to dog on Stolyarenko. Stolyarenko, she has great grappling. But for a girl with great grappling, you'd like to think she has great takedowns. She doesn't. Her takedown accuracy sitting at something like 30%.
She's less attractive, less talented Mackenzie Dern.
That's a bit of a reach. I don't think I'd... I mean, I don't know. I hear Mackenzie Dern. Yeah, less attractive. That's for sure. I don't know. I'll give Dern... I mean, I know Dern has horrible takedowns too, but I'll give Dern a little more credit here. At least Dern has a number next to her name, something that Stolyarenko will never see.
After how she fought Jessica Andrade, after Andrade just got fucked up three times back to back to back, I don't know how you can give Mackenzie Dern much credit, but I hear you. Maybe you got a soft spot in your heart for her, but that's fine. Yeah, dude.
Oh, dude, I was against her against Andrade. I love calling people to break them losing streaks. That was a great night for me.
Yeah, hell yeah. Well, good, dude, because, yeah, I think that I was on Dern that night, but... yeah, I something about this doesn't seem right, though. You know, you wonder what Vegas knows that we don't, to put Stolyarenko as the favorite. Maybe it's just, you know, the hype train of Molly McCann, and, you know, we'll get to that fight later, you know, beating Molly McCann, who undoubtedly, I think that Vegas still sees her as something. And I really don't think that she's anything, man, Molly McCann, that is. So maybe they're just ranking that win, and that dominant win, by the way, highly. So I don't know. But, Jared, I'll go back to you on this Blake Builder versus Jong Young Lee fight. And normally we would go to Alex after this, but I am, like I said, I'm taking the next one first. But who do you got with Blake Builder and Jong Young Lee?
Well, first off, this is great matchmaking because these guys are actually really similar in a lot of ways. Both guys have never been finished. Both guys have very questionable strength of schedule, and both guys are fast, they're explosive, and they both like to push a pace. So this is all the makings of a really, really good fight. I might give Lee a little bit of a speed advantage. But I'll start with Blake Builder. Blake Builder, he comes into the UFC. And he gets an absolute layup of a fight against Shane Young. He does what he's supposed to do. He beats Shane Young. And then he gets another fight against Kyle Nelson, who at the time He was like 2-4 in the UFC. He was supposed to be in. Yeah, that was in Canada, right?
Yeah, and fighting a Canadian man, you should win.
Right, especially after what we recently saw.
Yes.
But it was supposed to be another favorable matchup for him, and that fight played out really close. I lost money on Blake Builder that night, but at least I got to learn a lot about him.
Right.
This guy has trouble checking kicks. For whatever reason, he just doesn't check kicks. He just lets them happen, and his leg, by round three, his leg was gone. And he had a hard time getting around Kyle Nelson's jab. Jabbing and low kicking are two things that Lee does often. I mean, both these guys are explosive, but the questionable talent that they've faced, it is a hard pick. This fight is very, very even, which is why the odds are where they are. I'm going to give a slight edge to Lee coming off the road to UFC. A lot of people disagreed with him winning the final there. I thought it was, you know, I rewatched it the other day. It was a close fight, but just because it's close doesn't make it a robbery. So Lee's a good fighter, man. And I feel like this fight might spend a decent amount of time pressed against a cage with Builder trying to get Lee to the ground. Lee has very good takedown defense, but he does hang out on the cage a lot. If you do get him on his back, the second this guy hits his back, he is constantly going for subs. He's constantly throwing for elbows. If he doesn't do either of those two things, he's trying to get back to his feet. That's a guy that I don't mind having my money behind. So I'm going to take Lee here to beat Builder in a very close decision.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on the close decision part, but Alex, where are you at here, dude?
I agree. This is one of the fights I'm probably going to stay away from. I see a close decision. If I'm going to give out any bets, I'm going to tell them to take the over. It's going to be juiced. You know, I'd cap it at around 250, you know, so it'd have to be a parlay piece. And in my opinion, you know, I kind of like Blake, you know. I think he's going to show a different strategy after the last fight. I thought the last one was close, too, even against Kyle. I thought he could have won that. You know, I did lose money on Blake in that fight, too. And, you know, this is just one. Gun to my head, I'll take Blake by a close decision, but I'm not super confident on it. Definitely one of the fights that I'm not going to be throwing any money down the drain towards.
Okay. Yeah, man, I agree with your pick, Alex. I disagree that his last fight was close. I think that he shit the bed. I think that he absolutely shit the bed against Kyle Nelson. That's just my opinion, obviously. But I am on the Blake Builder side, and I think that I think the public's low on him now. And I think that you need to fade the public in a spot like this, where neither one of these dudes is too talented. Jared, you're either going to look like a genius or you're going to look dumb on this. You know what I mean? Like that, then that's how we all look after all these bets, right? In your case, Jared, you're going to look like you're the average casual bettor, or you're going to look like a fucking brilliant, you know, you sniped out a solid pick here. Cause I really do think that this goes 29-28. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's very, very close. So no matter what happens here, neither of us are wrong until fight night, until after these dudes fight. So probably not a fight that anyone should bet, but yeah, I'm on Blake Builder. I think that he could, in a weird world, I think he could get a knockout here. Obviously, you know, neither of these dudes been finished like that, but I think that I think Builder could get the knockout. I just want to make sure. Yeah, dude.
It's been finished.
No one's been finished here. So it's going to be interesting. Blake Builder went in when he did get the finish over the only person that he ever finished was Alex Morgan. Or I'm sorry, not the only person that he ever finished. I thought that I actually remember a knockout in that. So I'm misremembering everything. So just disregard what I'm saying. But yeah, that Alex Morgan fight, they were hyping up this Canadian prospect as like the next GSP. And
you're not fully wrong there. He fucking dropped that dude and snatched up his neck. So I can see where you remember it feeling like a knockout because he did drop him.
Right. It was like it was a dominant, like it was a very good win. Like it was like, holy shit, this dude was an underdog heading into that. And he just went in there and just demolished this guy, outclassed him in every sense of the word. But yeah, very, very interesting. Let's move on, though. It's going to be a close fight. Blake Builder versus Zhang Yong Lee. This is my hot take of the evening. And you guys, you know, you might not like it. I don't give a shit, though, because I'm solid on this one. We got Themba Grimbo versus Pete Rodriguez. Now, it's not just because Themba Grimbo is a Tucson guy, and this is where I live. This is, you know, Themba Grimbo, he's not that good, dude. He really isn't this guy that is a fucking killer. His 11-4 record looks great. He's a minus 300 favorite here on Tapology. But this guy is not he's not a finisher. He's not a badass dude. He's not somebody that's going to go out there and really do anything too crazy. He's got bad wrestling, but his wrestling is better than his striking. His striking is dog shit. Pete Rodriguez is, you know, you guys might disagree, but Pete Rodriguez, he's got power, dude. That's his main thing. That's the only way that he wins. Every single one of his fights is knockout win, knockout loss. He's got 5 knockouts under his belt, and then he's been knocked out once. He was knocked out by Jack Della Maddalena. So that's not a horrible loss, man. This is the Jack Della Maddalena, to some people, is like the fucking second coming out here. So for Pete Rodriguez to only have that one loss, that's not that bad. Now, yes, his highlight reel knockout is Mike Jackson. Not a great win, right? I mean, this I feel like I could knock out Mike Jackson. I don't see why people are on the Themba Grimbo train. He just got that free house by The Rock. I feel like everyone is going to be on him. Everybody's going to say like, oh, dude, Themba Grimbo all day. He's the fucking, he, you know, The Rock endorses him and all this shit. Give me Pete Rodriguez, man. And for all the people out there saying that Pete Rodriguez couldn't make weight, this is up a weight class. He's got an extra 15 pounds to fuck around. He was trying to fight Nathan Levy at 155. This is now at welterweight at 170. Give me Pete Rodriguez by knockout in round one against the passive, no killer instinct, Themba Grimbo, man. Give it to me all day. Pete Rodriguez, KO round one. Alex, where are you at, dude?
I've been back and forth. I don't think Themba is trustworthy at this line. I mean, how do you not go with Pete Rodriguez at this line at plus 235? You know, he looks good. I think he's just a little bit too small. I think Themba's going to have that size advantage on him. You know what I mean? And that's what scares me here. I want to take Pete. I do. It's just, I feel like he's too small. I really do. I think that size advantage is going to be evident when they match up. And for all we know, you know, they are coming both out of good camps. I just, another fight I won't be touching. I'll tell you that. But I guess I'm going to go Themba by knockout. Probably round two. You'd probably get clipped up in round one and everyone will sweat. But I feel like it's going to be a back and forth fight. I just think the way to beat Themba, you have to be a grappler. You have to be, you know. I just think they got this one capped correctly. I think the line is a little bit off. I do see the value in Pete, but I see Themba getting it done. Not super confident. Not something I'm going to be parlaying. But the official pick, Themba knockout round two.
Okay. Yeah, this is why I said this earlier. You know, most of Themba's wins come by submission. And Jared, when you were shaking your head, that's why, you know, I'm interested to see what your take is on this. He's not a good striker, dude. Themba is not a good striker. And he's going against a fucking hammer fist in Pete Rodriguez. Give me your thoughts on this.
All right, I got to say, I'm a little upset this is your hot pick of the night, because this was supposed to be my hot pick of the night. And here you go stealing my thunder.
Hey, man.
Themba Grimbo should not be.
If you think I'm going to let you take the Tucson, Arizona card.
Fair enough. But Themba Grimbo should not be minus 300 against anybody right now.
I love it.
This dude on the feet, I actually thought he wasn't, like, he's long, he's rangy. I've seen him land a couple good strikes, and then he immediately starts spamming takedowns.
Right.
And for somebody that's so hell-bent on wrestling, you'd think he'd be good at wrestling. This dude's takedowns are not good. I mean, honestly, this guy's not a good fighter, and you know, or at least UFC caliber, in my opinion. And that's not to say, you know, Pete Rodriguez is, you know, the next big thing, but Pete Rodriguez is the definition of kill or be killed. I don't think Rimbo has much killing ability in him. Pete Rodriguez, he gets a short notice debut in Australia against Jack Della. And of course, that went horribly, but the UFC was nice enough to give him an absolute layup against Mike Jackson, and he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He starched this dude. But I still have a lot of question marks around Pete Rodriguez. Right. He hasn't had a fight last longer than 3 minutes. So how good his takedown defense is yet to be determined. And you better believe Garimbo is going to be shooting for a takedown within the first 30 seconds. Or as soon as he feels Pete Rodriguez's power, he's going to be spamming takedowns. So we're going to find out real quick if we're stupid or not. But there, at this line, there is absolutely no way I am staying away from Pete Rodriguez here. This feels like a kind of similar to a Bryce Mitchell, Josh Emmett, where one guy has the opinion of, I'm just going to come in here and I'm going to take you down. I'm going to impose my wrestling. And Pete Rodriguez, his logic is, I'm just going to knock you the fuck out, or I'm going to die trying. So I'm taking Pete Rodriguez to get the knockout. He hasn't had a fight last longer than 3 minutes, so I'm going to say it's going to happen in round one. If Pete Rodriguez does not get that early finish, you better believe he's getting submitted. But Pete Rodriguez, Themba Garimbo at minus 300 is laughable. I'm going Pete Rodriguez to sleep this motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I think everything that you say is correct. But just for me, it's like Pete Rodriguez is going to be the stronger guy. He's going to be the physically stronger guy. Yeah, he's shorter by quite a bit. 5'9 versus 6'1 here on Tapology. You know, fucking sometimes Tapology is way off, by the way. But I know Garimbo is pretty tall. Rodriguez is a, you know, he's a Mexican. He's, you know, typically these dudes are shorter. But he's fucking strong, man. He's a strong dude. I think he's itching to get in. I think he wants to fight for his job. I think Garimbo is going to be fucking lazy because he got a fucking free house. How do you get a free house? There's so many people that are more deserving of a free house in the UFC. And this dude, just, you know, gets a free house by The Rock, and he seems like a good guy and all that stuff, but I don't think he deserved that. And I think that it's going to soften him up a little bit. And I think, like you said, Jared, I think that we see a knockout in round one by my fellow Tucsonan brother here. Charles Johnson versus Azat Maksum. I wish that I could have the first take on this, but Jared, I'll give you this one.
All right. Well, I kind of hate Maksum because I bet heavy on Tyson Nam in Maksum's debut because I believe Maksum's not that good. I was heavy on the 40-year-old flyweight Tyson Nam, and I still believe Tyson Nam won that fight. But I can't deny it. Maksum is a well-rounded fighter. I was able to watch the fight without a betting bias. Maxim's well-rounded. He did do good work in that fight. Personally, I don't think it was enough for him to get the nod, but for whatever reason, these guys from Kazakhstan and these guys from Dagestan, these undefeated guys with super padded records, the UFC likes to keep them undefeated for whatever reason. And they gave him what was supposed to be a favorable matchup against a 40-year-old flyweight, but Tyson Nam made it a much closer fight. But you know, anything close, it's going Maxim's way. I got burnt on that one, and that's okay, because I got to learn a lot about Maksum. If you start tagging this dude up, he's going to shoot desperate takedowns. They're going to be sloppy. There's going to be no setup to it. He's just going to be shooting. And I want to say against Tyson Nam, he was probably like 2 for 10, maybe 2 for 12 on takedowns. But I don't want to take away from him too much. As much as I think his record's padded, as much as I think he lost that fight and I kind of hate him, he is a good fighter, and he is UFC caliber. When I look at Charles Johnson at a Tiger Muay Thai, of course he has good technical striking, but he really has pillow hands. I think the only guy he's knocked out in the UFC was Jimmy Flick, mm-hmm. which Malcolm Gordon was about to knock out Jimmy Flick before he fucking falls into a choke. But Charles Johnson, you know, good striking. He's very technical, but he's susceptible to wrestle fuck. And if Maxim can wrestle fuck him, I mean, it's going to be a very long night for Charles Johnson.
Right.
He, you know, my major issue with Charles Johnson is I think he's a decent fighter. I think he does have potential, but he's the definition of a slow starter, and he's way too slow of a starter. I feel like every Charles Johnson fight I watch, it's him down two rounds, and then in the third round, he starts putting it on his opponent, but it's too little too late at that point. I don't want to bet on a guy that's going to be behind. I know he's going to be behind on the scorecards because I know Maxim's active. Charles Johnson just hasn't been able to put it together against certain opponents that just, I mean, it's the late starts, man. I can't bet on a guy that's a slow starter like that. If you're a slow starter and you have a knockout ability, maybe you can get me to bet on you, but I don't see much of a knockout threat on Johnson's side. There's zero grappling threat. I don't see him offering Maxim anything Maxim's not going to be able to handle. So I'm going to side with Maxim here. I will give Charles Johnson this. He's never been finished. So we'll say instead of a close decision, Maxim wins a unanimous decision.
Yeah, there's something to be said about a slow starter like Charles Johnson versus like a Joshua Van, right? Joshua Van is a slow fucking starter, but I mean, just phenomenal in rounds two and three. And he showed that last time he fought.
Or the same thing with Chris Curtis. We know he's a slow starter, but he has that knockout ability. If Charles Johnson had that, then you can get your head around putting some money on him. But the guy just starts way too slow for me, man. It's one of these matchups where you know he's going to be behind on the scorecards, and he's not the guy that's going to land that big shot.
There's Chris Curtis right there, baby.
Dope card right there.
Rookie card, Chris Curtis. Yeah, man, I'm right there with you. I want to hear what Alex has to say.
Another fight I don't want to bet because it's going to go like he had Tyson Nam last fight, and he did win that fight, and they robbed him, and the live odds said that. He won. He was up two rounds, and he's plus 300 going into the third round, and I'm like, dude, I'm texting Jared. I said, bro, they're going to rob you. They're going to rob you blind. And, you know, these odds on a three-fight losing streak, Charles Johnson – he's only plus 160 against an undefeated Kazakhstani guy. Come on, man. This screams red flags left and right. I'm going to go with the over 1.5 because I believe in both of their durability. And gun to my head, I'm going to go Johnson by decision, baby. Fuck it.
Okay. I actually had a markdown for you, Azat, because I thought that you were going to go that way. But, yeah, I can't hate you for doing that, dude. It makes sense. It's you know, Azat has nothing really to fight for here. Charles Johnson has his job to fight for here. I just I don't know. Like you said, he's not a bad fighter. We'll see. We'll see what happens here. It's definitely one to stay away from. I think that a wiser bet would actually be, you know, just throw the dart and see if you can cash that Johnson ticket. Why not? Now this one's fun. This one's fun for a couple of low-level women fighters. Molly McCann versus Deanna Belbitsa. Deanna Belbitsa fighting a BK, or I'm sorry, not fighting. Maybe they are fighting, but maybe not. She's dating Cameron Van Camp. He's a BKFC fighter now, right? Dude, I think Molly McCann wins this. I'm sorry. These are two bad fighters. Molly McCann wins. Deanna Belbitsa is a striker.
Don't forget, this is the rematch everybody's been wanting.
It is. This is true. I don't know when they fought initially. I had heard that. But, man, I think Molly McCann gets this done. I think that she knocks out Belbitsa. She's meaner. She's more physical. Deanna Belbitsa is too pretty, man. She shouldn't be in MMA. She should be doing something else. Molly McCann's a lesbian, and nothing against lesbians, but, you know, Deanna Belbitsa is a pretty, you know, dainty girl. Yeah, she's a long striker and all this stuff, but she's not fighting material, in my opinion. And I think Molly McCann gets this done pretty fucking easily, to be honest. I think she gets a round one knockout. Everyone's going to be low on McCann. and McCann is not good, but McCann gets a knockout here. I don't know if it's in round one or round two, but give me round one knockout, McCann. Alex, where are you at here?
Molly, meatball, give me that. Give me that money. I think Diana got to wrestle here. If I see Diana wrestling, though, I'm going to be cashing out. I'm gonna be running. I'm going to be swearing at the TV. But right. Every second this sits on the feet, I think Molly's just going to walk her down, win on pressure, win on volume. Give me that Molly McCann money line parlay piece, baby. Easy.
Yeah, it is an easy win. It just seems like, yeah, I see a knockout coming. Hey, I'm more confident in the, you know, the UFC is invested in certain people, and they're invested in Molly McCann. They want Molly McCann to do well. Just like they want Patty to do well. They're testing Patty a little bit more than they are Molly McCann. Molly McCann has failed her last two tests, so they're giving her a layup here, in my opinion. But yeah, Jared, where are you at on this one?
I think the only reason that this rematch is even happening is to get Molly back in the win column. Right. Just kind of set her up for the next time her and Patty are on the same card. Right. But, I mean, we know Molly. She's a one-trick pony. She can't grapple, and she's one of the few girls with finishing ability, or knockout ability, rather. I mean, she's not good, but Belbita is by no stretch of the imagination good. We've seen this fight before. Molly wins a unanimous decision, and we know how these go in these rematches. The method never seems to be the same way. I think Molly's just going to knock her out. I think this one's pretty clear cut. We don't really need to spend too much time on it. I'll decide with Molly to get a knockout, get back in the win column. I'll call it round two.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. When did they fight last?
I want to say 2019. Oh, yeah, right there.
Decision. Yeah, man, I just don't see it. Like I said, I don't think that Belbita is UFC material. I really don't think McCann is either. But man, just the difference in like the aggression that these girls have. Like Diana's going to go out there and try and point fight, and Molly's going to try and get a round one knockout. So I lean with the latter here. Alex, take this one first, man. Gilbert Urbina versus Charlie Radke, Chuck Buffalo, one of the greatest nicknames of all time.
I wasn't really all that impressed with Chuck last fight, man. I really wasn't. I bet him. I'll take the dub, but I think this is a little bit of a step up for him. I'm going with Gilbert. I don't like the line, but I'll take it. I'll lay a little bit of juice on Gilbert. I think he's a round robin piece for me. I'm going to go Gilbert. I think he's fought the better competition, and I think Chuck Buffalo is going to get his first loss in the UFC. I'm going Gilbert, baby. Let's go. Confident.
Method and round, buddy. You know the drill. This isn't an official bet. This is just, you know, for the show.
I'm going to go Gilbert decision. I think he makes it clear as can be. Unanimous.
Okay. I respect that, and I agree 1,000,000%. I think that, dude, Blood Diamond. That guy... That hard of a nickname should not go to a fighter that is that incompetent. Somebody named Blood Diamond should not be as bad as Blood Diamond was in the UFC. So yeah, dude, for Charlie Radke, Chuck Buffalo to go in and be gassed, so gassed, and not even really be able to take down this really mediocre kickboxer, man. I don't even know if he really got any takedowns. He was kind of wrestling him against the fence. I remember it was very boring. I was sweating it because I had him in a big parlay. He ended up cashing for me, so thank you for that. But yeah, I think it just really goes to show on how bad Blood Diamond is. Mike Mathetha is his real name, I believe. And yeah, dude, just a bad fighter. Bad fighter. I'm friends with a guy. I went to high school with a dude that fought. His name's Caleb Crump, and he got knocked out by Charlie Radke here. Caleb Crump right here. Caleb, you know, he's a nice dude. He's somebody that's out there on his grind, but he's 5-5. He's working. He works with Neil Magny quite a bit out at Elevation Fight Team. Just, you know, I don't know, man. I can't say anything because I don't want to be too mean, but I just don't think that Charlie Radke's UFC level. I really don't. So I think he got in. He got kind of lucky getting there. I think he's going to go probably, you know, 1-3, and then he's going to get his walking papers. But I think Gilbert Urbina gets this done here very easily. Probably round 2, round 3. Possibly a knockout, possibly a submission, but I see a finish. Gun to head. Give me Gilbert by knockout, round 1. Or, I'm sorry, round 3. KO, round 3. What do you got, Jared?
So Charles Radke was a dude that I was actually really excited for his debut. And I saw Blood Diamond. I'm like, oh my God, this is a layup. He's going to submit this guy in the first round. I have Radke money line on every single parlay. And then I do a straight bet on Radke by submission. And if you struggle with Blood Diamond, you're automatically dead to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a bad look. Maybe, yeah, it's his first UFC fight. I'm sure the UFC jitters played a part, but UFC jitters got nothing to do with cardio. There were points where he was getting outworked by fucking Blood Diamond. That's crazy to me. At least when I look at Gilbert Urbina, he's a dude with a significant height advantage, and he's actually good on the feet. He uses that size really well. He throws a lot of teep kicks. He throws, you know, he's always putting his jab out there, and he has some serious speed behind his punches. I don't think Racky's very good on the feet. I think he desperately needs to get this fight on the mat. And as long as Urbina can stuff those takedowns, he should do just fine here. I mean, I will not be anywhere near Radke. He's fucking dead to me. Maybe I'm like a lot of people fading this guy because of how horrible he looked against a guy like Blood Diamond. Maybe we get burnt. Maybe we don't.
Right.
I am all on Urbina here. I wouldn't bet Radke with your money.
Yeah, I've actually seen some people commenting on videos that are out there right now where they're like, dude, I'm all in on Radke.
Love to hear that.
Most of the people that are all in on Radke are all in on him because he said he called the Australian crowd faggots. It's not because he
actually- I will give him that. The second this, like the very first time this guy gets a microphone in front of him in the UFC, within 5 seconds, he's saying faggot.
Right.
It was hilarious. I'm here for it.
It's Love. Funny, but that doesn't mean that you're
good. Oh, it's very funny, but it doesn't mean you're good at fighting because you had a fucking hard time with Blood Diamond.
Right. So, yeah. And yeah, he looks the part. He looks like a mean dude. He's got power, clearly. I mean, he could knock out Urbina in the first 30 seconds. It's possible. But, yeah, man, just because you call a stadium of people faggots doesn't mean that we're going to bet on you the next time.
What's very funny, though. If he gets a microphone in his hands again, I want to hear it. It's very funny.
Right. What's your method, Jaron?
I'm going to say a decision. I'm going to give Radke. I mean, maybe I kind of like your opinion on that round 3 because Radke does, you know, maybe he'll gas, gets a little sloppy, but I'll give him a little bit of credit here. I'll say he goes the distance, but I am all on Urbina.
Cool. Okay. I'll take my sexy Latinas here. Give me baby girl, Natalia Silva, all day. Vivian Arruja versus Natalia Silva. This is a confident finish. I think that we see a finish here. I don't know if it's knockout or if it's submission, but Natalia Silva absolutely finishes Vivian Arruja. Silva's the real deal, dude. I think, you know, this is somebody that the UFC is behind. She's attractive. She's young. She is 27 years old today. Happy birthday, baby girl. Okay. Yeah, dude. Alex, where are you at here?
Baby girl. Yeah, she's a marketable one, huh?
Right.
Yeah, I'm all over her. This is the new one. She's going to take over Vivi's spot here at number 7.
Yep.
She's going to take that spot right away from her. Vivi's going to be the gatekeeper from now on. I love this pick. I'm all over it. Do I like the line? No. But am I going to parlay her? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm all over this Natalia Silva. Well, you're gonna, I don't know about that finish, though. If I had to, you know, Vivi likes to gas out round three. I guess if I'm going to go to finish it, go round three. I'm going to go with the finish round three knockout. Let's go, baby. I'm with it. Natalia Silva, lock of the card. Let's go. But I think it could be sweaty because Vivi likes to wrestle those first two rounds. I think it could be a little bit sweaty. If you want to get a little bit greedy on this, you could get a little live bet in, watch the first round because Vivi comes out hot. She got strong hands, you know. She may even drop Natalia once. But I'm telling you, I'm hopping on that live line. I might even double dip on this.
I got no worries with Vivi on this one. I respect what you're saying, Alex. But, dude, you know, and for clarity, I am taking KO round two for Silva. I think she's just got to get it. Silva's a little bit of a slow starter. But she is going to just absolutely dominate Viviane Araújo. She lost. Araújo lost to who'd she lose to? That was it was a bad loss. Chukagian. Everyone loses to her.
I don't think you're going to find a bad loss on her record. I think she, out of those three girls, I think the only other girl she's lost to in the UFC was Jessica Ai. And that's back when Jessica Ai was actually pretty good.
Okay.
Rebus was a bad loss. I think I lost on her there. I thought she was winning that fight too. She gave it away. I was very disappointed in her there. That's the loss I think that was.
Yeah, I remember seeing her just not look good. And even in that Jennifer Meyer win, it was like, dude, who fucking, what? It didn't seem like that was a unanimous win. So, yeah, dude, all day it's Silva. But, Jared, where are you at on this one, man?
As Alex knows, I'm a fan of Viviane Araújo. I think she's underrated. I think she's very well-rounded. But the issue with her is she always seems to gas out in those later rounds. It's just, she has a strength of schedule that's not even close to Natalia Silva. But the one thing that's glaring at me is the age. It feels like an out with the old, in with the new situation. Natalia Silva, I was trying to find so many reasons to bet on Araújo here, especially at this line. Natalia Silva, I can't deny it. The girl's good. She's well-rounded. She's got good striking. She's fast. She hits hard. She can grapple. She has all the tools required to be a serious contender.
But say it too. She's also very, very hot. You got to admit.
You know what? No, I'm going to say that Viviane Araújo is one of the hottest lesbians in the UFC. I think she gets slept on a little bit.
The MILF characters you like, huh?
I don't know. Maybe I don't know what it is. Maybe I have some issues deep down, but she's one of the hotter lesbians in the UFC for sure.
I respect it. Okay.
But I mean, I tried everything to find a reason to bet on her, but I just can't. It really seems like out with the old, in with the new. Right. She's 37 years old. She's had 10 UFC fights. She's like 6-4 in the UFC. I want to say, or maybe even 5-5, but I think 6-4. But regardless, dude, she's just one of those girls that she's, I think, entering that state of certified gatekeeper. I think she can keep a lot of girls out of the top 10 and hold that gate. But this is one of these ones. Natalia Silva is just going to keep moving up in the ranks, and she's going to cause some trouble in this division. So unfortunately, as much as I hate to do it, I have to take Natalia Silva by decision. And it feels pretty clear cut. I mean, maybe she might get out wrestled early and the line comes down a little bit, but I'm giving Viviani credit here. I don't think she's going to get finished, but I do think she's going to slow down. Natalia Silva should win a decision over her.
Got it. Yeah, man. I think Silva fights for a belt someday, to be honest. I think she absolutely does. She's only 27. This is fairly young. I'm high on
her. We skipped a fight, by the way.
Which one? Oh, yeah, we did. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to these. I mean, this is, to me, this is whatever. So I, you know, I missed this. You know, this is a Freudian slip. Jared, since you called it out, take us away on this. You know, we've got an Ev versus an Ov, a couple fucking Russians fighting here. We got Elise Kebab. I mean, dude, if anyone knows these names, go for it, dude. I can't pronounce these things. What do you got?
All right. I remember when Muradov came into the UFC and he had some hype behind him because he was training with Floyd Mayweather. And it's like, yeah, this guy's from Uzbekistan, like one of those countries. But believe it or not, he's not a wrestler. This guy can actually strike. He's got some speed. He's got some power. Every time you see him lose, it's against a higher level grappler. It's very clear he has a weakness in the grappling department. And what you're looking at on the other side, undefeated Dagestani, wet blanket. It's pretty clear cut here. I do think Muradov could have his moments, but realistically, he's probably going to get wet blanketed. He's probably going to get submitted in the first or second round. I mean, the guy is, you know, he can be exciting, but if all you need is wrestling skills to beat him. And the undefeated Dagestani, whose name I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce, this has him written all over it, man. I'm going to go with him to Kyzryev to submit Muradov in the first round.
Well, why don't we just say that this fight is between the Black Wolf and Mach? And the Black Wolf is the wrestler and Mach is the striker. Okay. I'm sorry, guys. I mean, you know, this is some of these names are tough, but obviously Jared is going with the Black Wolf here. Alex, do you agree or disagree?
Well, after Mahmud's last win, he kind of seems like he has a wrestling base too. And he kind of does, though. He got some takedowns against Barbarina, and that was a sweaty third round. He gassed out.
39-year-old Barbarina. I'm sorry.
He gassed out bad. I wanted him to finish Barbarina, and that kind of cost me a bet, I believe. But I did have a huge bet on Mahmud in that fight. But now I think it's time to get off the bandwagon. It's not often we get dog odds on Muradov. But I'm going to go with the Black Wolf, round three. He's going to expose that gas tank of Muradov. And we all know that the wrestling gets people tired faster.
Yep.
So I think there's going to be a lot of wrestling in this fight. And I'm going to go Kryzyev to remain undefeated. Let's go. Round three, submission.
Like it. Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you, Alex. I will just take it a step further, and I'll say it's round two. For the sake of, you know, excuse me, spreading it around a little bit. But this one's fun. This is actually a fun fight. That you know, the last two, it seems like it's pretty obvious. We've got Randy Brown versus Muslim Salikov. It's Randy Brown for me all day. Randy Brown gets this done. Salikov, you know, he's a well-rounded dude. I think he's done some sambo. You know, he's pretty well known in the wrestling world as the king of kung fu. But I think he's got more submission wins than anything else, right? No, he's got ground and pound wins. I just think that Randy Brown is a freak of nature at this weight class. He's the younger guy by almost 7 years. Give me Randy Brown, the longer striker. I think his takedown defense is good enough to you know, stand up and really fuck up this shorter Russian dude. How much shorter is this guy? 5'11 versus 6'3. Not a crazy height difference, but enough. Randy Brown is one of these guys that fights really well as a tall person. He utilizes his you know, reach advantage and his length. So yeah, man. I don't think he gets a finish here. I think that, you know, Salikov is tough enough, but give me Randy Brown decision. I think it's a unanimous decision. I think that he beats the shit out of Salikov for 15 minutes. Randy Brown decision. What do you got, Alex?
I've been back and forth on this fight. I just like this fight a lot.
It's kind of
like Rustin Brandy round. I'm not going to be betting this fight. Another fight, I like the over 1.5. I think this fight goes a while. Gun in my head, I'll trust Randy to get a decision, even though, who did he fight last?
Let's see.
The Brazilian guy, Wellington Thurman. Yeah, I thought he lost that fight, and I bet huge money on Randy Brown. I thought I got gifted a win there, you know. I don't like this fight at all. I'll go Randy Brown by decision. Not super confident. I think this is an easy stay-away fight because I think Muslim's going to be looking good early. He's got that pressure. But another one who kibbies out later in the fight, who gets tired, especially if he mixes it up, We've seen him, you know, be winning a lot of fights and then just lose. I don't like this fight at all.
You mentioned something that sparked something in my head. You know, Salakov is pressure heavy in the beginning. Randy Brown's an excellent counter-striker, man. Like, he really is a good counter-striker. So it's possible that we see a counter-strike, like, you know, like a cross or something that comes
right. And it's been a long time since Randy's gotten a finish. Like, when was the last time Randy's gotten a finish? He's been a decisionator for a while.
Right.
And, yeah, I guess we could see him get a finish here. I guess that wouldn't be a bad pick. I'll go Randy Brown, just not super confident. But he's definitely fought a lot of better competition as of late. So right. I'll go Randy Brown, and you're right. That is a good eyeball right there. Randy Brown decision, not super confident.
How many times has Salakov been knocked out? Only once. That's not a good look. But yeah, man, I could see that happening, man. I could see something going down where Rude Boy just catches him. Jared, you stepped away for a second. We're both on Brown. We're not super high on him. You know, Alex taking the over 1.5. I'm taking the decision win by Rude Boy, but I think that it's possible that he gets a knockout, as I was mentioning. What do you got here?
Well, get your Salakov bets ready, because I am also on Randy Brown.
Okay.
I think anytime your last name is Brown, it's a missed opportunity if your nickname isn't Downtown. I mean, right. Come on.
Right.
But Salakov, Muslim Salakov, do not let the name fool you. This guy is a striker. He wants to keep it on the feet. He does have okay grappling, but you know he prefers this fight on the feet. I got two major issues with him. He slows down, and not only does he slow down, I've seen him get out-toughed by, especially by Nicholas Dalby, a fight that he was looking good early. And then you just got a tough guy that's not going to stop coming forward. And you see him start to fold under that kind of aggressive pressure.
Yeah, Dalby's a beast, dude.
Randy Brown, long, lanky striker. And he's got, an 8-inch reach advantage here. And he's going to use that range well. He maintains his distance pretty well. And like you said, he's a good counter striker. I think this is probably going to play out like a kickboxing matchup. Unless Salakov gets irritated and wants us, you know, irritated in the striking department where he can't find the dude that has an 8-inch reach advantage on him. And I think if Salakov gets irritated and starts shooting takedowns, that's a mistake, because Randy Brown has some good grappling in his back pocket. I don't love the line here, but I think Salakov is going to have a hard time finding Randy Brown. Yeah, he's really good at maintaining distance and controlling his range. I think Randy Brown's probably just going to outpoint him in a kickboxing match. And I would like to think he gets his, if he's going to get a finish here, it's going to be late. So maybe look at the over 1.5, because Salakov does slow down around halfway through the second round. Maybe Randy gets a finish in round 3, but my official pick, I'm going to say Randy Brown wins a decision here.
Yeah, dude, I definitely am on the same fucking thing, and we're all on Brown. So that's what that does make me a little nervous, to be honest, but because this is something that could end up being close. But at the end of the day, man, I think that the UFC wants somebody like Randy Brown to win. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a safer bet. Now, this is where shit starts to get interesting, and I want to just have like an open discussion. I don't want on these last two fights to, you know, just throw your picks out right away. But we've got Hanetto Moicano versus Drew Dober. We've got somebody in Hanetto that could be Chinny, possibly. He's a much more well-rounded fighter. We've got Drew Dober, who is primarily a striker. Possibly his chin was cracked when he fought last time. Who knows? We're not sure. It seemed like it could have been a premature stop, but he did get dropped. Where are your guys' thoughts, both you guys? I mean, just anyone that wants to speak up here, where are your thoughts here before we actually get...
Are you talking about the Frivola fight?
Yes.
He fought Ricky Glenn after that.
Okay.
I believe he got a... Yeah, he did get a finish. So Moicano, I question his chin. I question his cardio. I don't question his heart. This is a guy that is I mean, he pushes it, man. I mean, every moment of this fight that he's conscious, he's going to be trying to win. And for a guy with zero knockouts on his record, his striking really isn't bad. Of course, he definitely wants his fight on the mat against a guy like Dober, but I just, I don't think it's a landslide of a difference on the feet, but I have to give the edge to Dober, man. I mean, he's just, he's aggressive. He's a guy I'd like to bet on, even though he's like 13-7 in the UFC. It's not a guy, I don't hate betting on him because he's a guy that fights for your money. He's always trying to finish a fight. You better kill this dude if you're going to get him out of there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a way that he loses by getting killed, essentially. Alex, what are your thoughts on this, man, before we give our actual picks here?
I'm a little biased on this one. I'm just biased.
Who do you like?
I love Drew Dober. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, me too.
My guy.
You like that chin, huh?
He's my guy. I always back him. And I'm betting with my heart here. And my only problem I have here is that it's a 3-round fight. I would have rather seen a 5-round fight. I think this is a great main event, in my opinion.
Why
a great fight
for Dober?
I feel like every round that Renato's going to take more damage, it's going to add on. Kind of like the RDA fight. And now he's fighting an even scrappier guy, in my opinion, whose main style of fight is Muay Thai. He's a Muay Thai style fighter. And
let me play devil's advocate here for a second.
Go ahead.
When you talk about that RDA fight, I think the reason RDA had so much success on the feet is because Moicano, every time RDA shot on him, he took him down. That's not something he's going to worry about with Drew Dober. Drew Dober is not going to be spamming takedowns on him. Every single time RDA shot, he got him down. And he was, you know, and he got so distracted worrying about that takedown threat. I mean, you're seeing RDA, who we know is a grappler, piecing him up on the feet.
That's a good point. And I guess, gun to my head, I would love a double method bet here. Like, yeah, I hit last week with Jimmy Flick and Gordon. I would give a double method here. I'm going to trust Drew Dober's chin. So I think Renato can only win by decision or sub, and I'd go with the sub. You know, if he's smart, he knows how ruthless Drew Dober is on the feet. He's going to be ruthless. So, and Drew Dober has gone for takedowns too. He doesn't show him the smartest IQ in the UFC. He's gone for takedowns, and if he goes for a takedown against Renato, Renato might want to take it there. So Renato by sub, Drew Dober by KO is definitely what I'm leaning. It's probably going to be a favorite. But gun to my head, I love Drew Dober here. I love him. I got to go with Drew Dober to crack that chin one more time. And I think he's going to get up in the rankings a little bit. I think he's a prime gatekeeper for the top 10. This fight doesn't matter for either of them. They're already both in the top 15. So it's just a fun filler fight. And you know, they're both be at pretty much the same position they're in, regardless of a win or a loss. So I just believe that Drew Dober is going to be on the way up. But if Renato's smart, leg kicks and some grappling would do him a lot of justice and could even eke him out a decision. This is one of the more unpredictable fights on the card. But give me dog money on Drew Dober, baby. I'll take that.
Okay, you got Dober. What was the method, Alex?
I'll go round 3 KO.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just ahead of you on that. In my opinion, you guys said everything that I wanted to say, but I got Drew Dober round 2 knockout. I think that he pieces Moicano up. I think it might be a little bit, you know, contested in round 1. It's going to be close, but I mean, dude, Drew Dober, there's something there. There's something pretty special about this dude. And he hasn't really, like, transcended yet. You know, he's popular and people like him. Obviously, Alex likes him. I like him. I don't know what it is, man. He's got something that I think the UFC wants. Moicano has it too, right? I mean, the whole money Moicano thing, that's a huge movement, it seems like, that's going on. And it seems like it just
happened. But he has that epic post-fight interview, and then we don't see him for a year because he has – and mind you, he's coming back from knee surgery too.
Right. So this is the thing. I just have to pick Dober here. I think this is a competitive fight, but anytime someone's chinny and they're fighting a fucking bomb thrower, like, you can't, how is anyone going to pick Moicano here? Now, with me saying that, of course Moicano has a chance to win. And he's a compassionate dude. He seems like a very, very, like, it seems like a cool ass dude. Both these guys seem cool. So I hate to see either one of these guys lose, but I think that Drew Dober, with the bomb throwing, the brawling style, I think his takedown defense holds up against Moicano, and I think he fucking knocks this dude out. It could happen in round one, but I'm going round two. I think it could potentially happen very early. I think Moicano might be kind of overrated. He might be leaning too much into his social media shit that he's doing, his YouTube channel. Drew Dober's not doing that shit. And I think, you know, Drew Dober, and if Drew Dober has a channel, I don't know about it. And that's the difference, is that he's not leaning into it as much. So, yeah, Drew Dober gets a knockout here at some point. I think it's round two, could be round one. Hopefully for Alex's sake, it's round three. Jared, what was your method?
Yeah, so I'm going to take Dober to get a knockout. I'm going to say it comes in the second round, because right off the bat, Moicano, I swear, almost every fight, he blasts a couple low kicks, and then he starts spamming takedowns. If he doesn't get those takedowns, he's going to gas out, or he's going to, if not gas completely, he's going to slow down significantly. And throwing those leg kicks, I mean, he's open to eat a lot of shots from a guy like Dober. And like you said, man, you got a guy that might be chinny against a guy that throws fucking bombs. It's hard to stay away from Dober here. I mean, with this line at plus 120, how do you not take Dober? You know what you're getting with him.
Right, Jared? It almost seems too obvious, and that's what's scary.
Right. It's one of those things that almost feels too good to be true. I mean, Dober's a hard hitter, man, and he doesn't mind taking one to land one. And I don't think any of the ones he's going to take from Moicano are going to be anywhere near as damaging as the ones that Dober's going to put on him.
Right.
So what he needs to do, though, he needs to push a pace, and he needs to stuff the takedowns early. If he's not stuffing these early takedowns, get ready to start sweating.
Yeah, I think Dober has no problem stuffing those takedowns. But another fight here. So we're all on Dober on this one. And it's interesting because Moicano has gotten so popular recently. So I think a lot of people might be on Moicano, and it might not be a bad bet to take Moicano, to be honest, but I can't get there, man. The line is suspicious. It's a sus line, but yeah, dude, we're all on Dober. Now let's go to the main event here. And, this is another interesting fight. I feel like I might disagree with you guys on this. Roman Dolidze versus Nasruddin Imavov. Is he French? Is he Russian? We're not sure. He fights out of France, but he is the Russian sniper in Nasruddin Imavov. He beat Chris Curtis. He lost to Sean Strickland. Everyone that loses to Sean Strickland, unless your name is Abus Magomedov, it's a split decision loss or a win. So, you know, we can't really hate on Imavov too much for that. But Roman Dolidze, this dangerous grappler, he's got some good striking. He's just a man. This guy's a fucking beast. So it's going to be interesting to hear where your thoughts are on this, guys. I'll give this to you, Jared, first. What do you got? And then, Alex, I want to hear from you, and I'll clean it up.
Well, I think a lot of people look at Dolidze as just a strong wrestler or just a power striker. I think he's a lot more than that. This guy, I mean, he can scramble for days. I mean, it's not often you see him on his back, but the second he hits his back, he blasts elbows and he's trying to grab something. If he's not blasting elbows, he's trying to set up a submission attempt, which, you know, he's definitely more than what he's made out to be. And in this fight, though, I feel like he's probably just going to be hunting for that big knockout. And against a guy like Imavov, he's rangy, he's technical. I'm not sure if that big KO is going to come. Just Imavov, he maintains his distance really well. the way I look at this is it's probably going to play out on the feet. And if it does, Delize wants it to be a brawl. Imavov wants it to be a technical kickboxing match. So you got a, you know, you got a guy that wants a brawl and a guy that doesn't. The guy that doesn't, he, I think Imavov has a speed advantage here, and he blasts that jab out there. And I think Delize is probably going to have a hard time working around that. He's, it'd be smart for him to try to take Imavov to the ground, but Imavov does have some grappling skills in his back pocket too. I don't know if it's on the same level as Delize's, but I'm going to side with Imavov to avoid the heavy shots. It's a 5-round fight. I think Imavov can keep it clean. I'm sure Delize will have his moments if you're an Imavov better where your heart drops. But I do think the Imavov is the better striker. He's more technical. He seems sharper. He seems cleaner. As long as this fight doesn't turn into a fucking firefight or a crazy brawl and this fight stays at distance, it's Imavov all day. The only thing Delize has to offer him is a big knockout threat. And if it gets to the ground, which I don't imagine it will, he's going to be going for submissions constantly. I'm going to side with the longer, rangier guy. And I know Delize, he's a, you know, he's a big motherfucker. He's mean. Imavov's mean too. This guy, I love his attitude when he comes in to fight. I think he's going to match that energy at Delize trying to intimidate him. I'm all on Imavov here, man. I just think he's the better fighter. And I think when I first looked at this line, I know Delize has a little bit of hype behind him. And the more I broke down tape, the more I see this line is very accurate. Imavov's the rightful favorite here, and he should win this fight. And I'll say he wins it by decision.
I like it. Alex, what do you got, dude?
I won't be betting this fight. I just want to say that right now. I won't be betting this fight. I'll be betting over 1.5, over 2.5. I think this fight goes a while. I think both of these guys are very, very durable. I think if there's any room for an early finish, probably going to be Roman by submission, fluky. Because he's slick. He is slick with the submissions.
Yeah.
So, well, I know it's Phil Hawes, but look at that Phil Hawes fight. Remember how bad he tweaked his knee? Yeah. I know he got the knockout win, but that should have been a submission win because Hawes was done. I think Mark Goddard must have bet on the knockout there.
Yeah.
I've just been back and forth with this fight. I was originally on Romanoff. Roman. And I just think it's way too close of a fight. I see this fight going to a decision. Do I want to be a part of a close decision? Like, just like the last weeks, I was like, DDP's probably going to get this, but am I confident? If I had thousands of dollars on this, would I want to cancel my bet, take my money back? Absolutely. And I don't want to be putting my money in these positions anymore. So I'm going to give everyone the pick. Take the over 2.5. It's probably going to be minus money. But as far as a pick, you know, we haven't even seen Roman in a 5-round fight.
Right.
He's extremely muscular. For all we know, he's going to gas out. So I think we're going to learn a lot about Roman. And I think we should just sit back and learn. But Jared is absolutely right. The volume is going to be Nursedin's friend in this fight. And I think anything close, they'll probably give it to him. But it could be just like that DDP fight we saw last week. Roman's that marketable guy from Georgia. They might want to push him along, push him up in the rankings. And he's good as well. And I think this is one of the more unpredictable fights. I think it's going to go over. That's the only thing I'm confident in this fight. But gun to my head, I'll go Imavov by decision. Not super confident. I'm going against my gut here, which tells me Roman's going to win. It just kind of feels like a trap. They're giving me dog odds on this. And I think most of that dog odds is coming from the fact that he hasn't had a 5-round fight. He hasn't fought the competition that Imavov has fought. I mean, other than Vettori. But he didn't look too good in that fight himself.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll go Imavov decision. Not going to be betting this fight. I will be betting the over confidently. And that's what I'm going to stick with.
Who was it that fought Bobby Green and Bobby Green knocked him the fuck out in 10 seconds?
Grant Dawson.
This could be like that. And Bobby Green in this case would be Roma Delize. But I think if this fight actually plays out and it gets going, Nasruddin wins, 10 times out of 10. I don't think Dolidze wins a decision. I think he gasses out after round two. Because Nasruddin's going to put a pace on him, man. And if this goes long, my thing that I have written down here, I have knockout round four, five, or a decision, and it's going to favor Nasruddin. I think that you know, I'll push back on what you were saying, Alex, where, you know, Dolidze is very marketable as a Georgian fighter. I don't think that UFC fans really like Georgian fighters. Like, look at how much they're turning on Merab, because Merab is like cucking for Sterling, Aljamain Sterling. And France, I mean, they go to France. You know, there's UFC cards in France. They've got Cyril Gane. They've got a few other fighters out there. I forget there's a black dude. I forget his name. But he's like a fucking, he's like the version of Sean O'Malley out there. He's like a rock star out there.
I'm glad you brought that up too, because like, this is one of these ones, like, I know Dolidze has a little bit of hype behind him, but I'm not willing to pretend he's some young up and comer. He's 35 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't even think to look at their ages, but yeah, that's a good point. It's just interesting, man. You know, this thing about fighting out of Ukraine, it seems like the Ukrainian fighters, they've been losing lately. You know, there was a little point in the war when, you know, when the Ukrainian Russian war was cool, all these Ukrainian fighters were getting favorable matchups and they were winning. That's not the case anymore. Like, all these Ukrainian fighters are getting their asses, their shit is getting pushed in right now. And it's just interesting, man. It's interesting. I think that there's different narratives that could be built off of how, you know, this fight goes. But I think that the UFC wants Imavov to win. He's the younger, more marketable guy. Roman Dolidze is like just like this freak. He's like this scary dude. I don't know. I'm heavy on Imavov. I actually will be betting this. And I think that he gets a late finish, round four, round five, or potentially a decision. Hopefully that's not the case, because I'm gonna try and parlay up the two rounds, or group the two rounds, four and five. But yeah, Dolidze could get a flash knockout, like round one, round two, and at the beginning of any round, Dolidze is live. But I think, you know, Imavov might even incorporate some kind of, you know, like well-roundedness. He might take Dolidze down. I think it'd be a bad decision, but I think he might do it. He's going to be the one that outstrikes Dolidze, though. So yeah, give me a technical. To casuals, it'll seem boring, but I think Imavov gets this done, man, and I think he does it emphatically. I think he does it easy. So that's my pick, man. We got it. We got them all. That's it. I mean, what else? Where do we go from here? When's the next pay-per-view?
290. At least 3 weeks, right?
And it's got to be in a little while, but yeah, man. 299 is stacked. I know 298 is next, but February 17th.
Yep, Volk and Ilya.
Ooh. I got Ilya in that, to be honest, but we'll see where that goes.
How about Robert Whittaker versus Paulo Costa? I mean, that seems like an easy Whittaker pick, no?
Give me that Paulo Costa money line.
Give me that fight not fucking happening.
That's a good take.
The fight's not going to happen, dude. You think Paulo Costa is going to fucking fight Robert Whittaker? There's not a chance.
All right, well, how about a fight that will actually happen? How about Merab versus Henry Cejudo?
Merab wins that.
All day.
Yeah, 1,000%. Yeah, I mean, I think Merab would beat Aljamain Sterling. And look at the way that Henry
Cejudo. That's why they've never done it. While Aljo was champ, that's why they wouldn't have that fight with Merab as the number one contender, because he knew he'd beat him.
Yeah. I'll tell you guys right now, I can't wait until we get to UFC 299, because that is such that's a better card than 300, to be honest. 300's kind of looking like it's going to be a disappointment. By the way, I don't think Ronda Rousey ends up fighting on that. I thought so, but up until this point,
no. Yeah, it was looking good, but now that they're announcing everything, it don't look like it.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, but yeah, dude. Well, either way, you know, we've got some fun fights coming up. I think that we laid some good bets down here. We've got we're in agreement in a lot of these fights. There's not too many that we're disagreeing on. But either way, dude, it's gonna be a good night for us.
Well, let me leave you with a couple parlays here.
Let's go.
I gotta give you the whale bet. The whale bet, it's at even odds. I got Azat Maxim and Natalia Silva. Two of them together, even odds. That'll probably be my biggest bet of the night. And then I got a juicy one for you that Alex is going to hate. You're probably going to hate it too. It's a four-team parlay plus 1,100. We got Jiang Young Lee, Luana Carolina, Drew Dober, and Nasruddin Imavov. Plus 1,100 for those four.
It's not too bad, not too bad.
Lee Carolina.
Did the Melsic fight get canceled?
When?
I have it on here. Melsic Bagdasarian versus William Gomez. Is that not happening anymore?
On this card?
Yeah.
No, that's been canceled.
Yeah, I don't think that was ever supposed to
happen. All over Melsic on that.
Oh, yeah, over Gomez? Yeah, Gomez is one of those dudes. Gomez is the guy that I was talking about, the Jaguar. This dude is the fucking Sean O'Malley of France.
He just keeps getting them favorable matchups.
Yeah, but at the end of the day,
at that point, no, with that one, I would be all over Milsic.
Yeah, but he's a very interesting character out there in France, man. People love this guy. And I just don't fucking see it, man. It just goes to kind of show, you know, the level of talent out there in France versus the U.S. You know, it's vastly different, but... I got to say, Jared, I don't think that four-leg parlay is bad at all. Do you have anything that you want to throw at the wall, Alex, before we get out of here?
I'm going to give you guys Luana Carolina Moneyline. Let's go. Let's ride, baby. That's all I got. If you want more, just DM me on Instagram. I'll give you the whole slate for free. And definitely going to find a couple extra legs to parlay with Natalia Silva, and I'll be pounding that pretty hard. Just got to find a couple extra legs, maybe one other fighter and an over 1.5 to get it down to even odds. But other than that, that's what I have currently.
Cool. I'll give you my underdog lock is Pete Rodriguez, man. I'm high on Pete Rodriguez. I think that he gets it done against Demba Garimbo. So
I'll chime in with an underdog straight bet too, Landon Quinones.
Okay. You're throwing all kinds of shit out there.
Yeah, if you throw this much shit at the wall, something's got to stick, right?
Right. Right. All right, cool. Yeah, Quinones. I got a markdown. But yeah, man, everybody out there, good luck betting. We're trying to put this out early. Where can they find this on YouTube, Alex?
You can find us on YouTube on our channel, Profit Picks, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, Picks, one word. And, yeah, we should have it uploaded. We're trying to get it out every Wednesday. So, God willing.
God willing. And, yeah, this will be on my typical feed where you guys hear this as well, audio-wise. And, damn, guys, good luck, everybody. Just, you know, bet responsibly. We're getting in some murky waters. There is some weird shit going on this card. I don't know what to think of it. It's not a card that I don't think any one of us is going to sweep. But, you know, soon we'll get there. We're going to have a card where it's like, yeah, this is it. But this is a tough card. So bet responsibly. And, you know, we got some fun stuff, guys. So UFC Vegas 85. You heard it here. Hopefully first. Bet responsibly. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.